Life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from your Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the rain. Lord, for we know that we need it. We know it's been dry for a long time. And Lord, you bless us with the natural rain and you bless us with the spiritual rain. And you know just what we have need of this morning, Lord. And we ask that you would just lead us and guide us by your revealed word in this last days. And Lord, may you bless each one. Would we believe to be here this morning a part of the body of Jesus Christ in this last day, the bride. And Lord, may you bless each one. Bless those that are listening in. Bless those that will. And Lord, bless your bride around the world, Lord, in every nation, of every kindred and every tongue. Draw us unto you, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And we always thank God for the privilege we have to come together. Now, Brother Benjamin in India, he asked me to give greetings to you this morning. And so we want to greet you on his behalf. And then we posted on the group the other day that Brother Keenan has confirmed that he is going to be having Easter meetings and he's invited us to come. Of course, he told us that in the meetings there last year, last Easter, he told us that next year he wanted to have it at his place. And so we took him at his word and said we would like to do that. And so we want you to be in prayer for that, those meetings that the Lord will just have his way and that we will just have a good time in the Lord.
Amen.
And so, now this morning, the Lord had me take a sharp turn this morning, and I'm still going to start in the fourth seal because I've been telling you that's what I'm going to do, but there's many things, and I know all of this has been preached, and you know that these things are spiritual. You know about Armageddon. I know it's been preached here. I know, brother. I'm pretty sure it wasn't that long ago, Brother Goomba. Preached on it, and we've preached on it in the past, and so I'm not getting on that, but just throwing in some details there, and as we went back in the scriptures, and some of the things here is pointing out the same thing, and that is the anointing of the Spirit, because that's the thing that's where I'm going, is I want to get to that message, the anointed ones at the end time. But you see in the Old Testament what was happening all the time. And you see the election of God that was happening all the time. It was always being expressed. It was coming through all the time. And God, he kept bringing it to our attention. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And how could that be? How could the very scripture that the Jesus that come and said, love everybody. And then this God, we already have testimony that he hated somebody before they were even born. So how could that be? So It's just simply the predestination of God.
Amen.
It's simply, I never knew you, because they never came into a relationship with God.
Amen.
And if they never came into that relationship, then they never had a love affair. They never became one. They never lived in Christ. But what they did have, and what all people can have, and I don't want to say all have, but at some point in time, you watch all the way through the scriptures, you watch people being anointed. You watch them being anointed. You see them all through the New Testament. You see them through the history. You see them in the church ages. You see them in the seventh church age. You see the anointing of God happening over and over and over again. And it's not necessarily always on the seed. Many times it is on the non-seed. And so they're expressing what God has anointed them for. And you take even some of those evil kings that back there in the Old Testament, and God says, my servant Nebuchadnezzar, my servant this one, my servant that one. Why? Because they were fulfilling the will of God. They were fulfilling what God had in his mind and what God wanted done in that day. And so, Brother Branham talked about the great mystery today. What did he say the mystery was? His predestination. He said, there's the mystery right there. And that's what's so clear today. That's what's so real to us today is this. It don't matter what it is, the good, the bad, the ugly. God had it all pre-planned before the foundation of the world. On this, I have no room in my heart or in my thinking for this idea that stuff just happens.
Right.
It just happened. No, God had a purpose in everything that happens.
Amen.
And it's not because I decided it or you decided it or I made this choice or you made that choice. No, it's because God in his mind had put us here for a purpose. And we are living out that purpose.
Yes, sir.
And we're either seed or we're not seed. But either, no matter what we are fulfilling the purpose of God. Because he had it in his mind what he wanted to do. And so I took for a title this morning, and these messages are together, but I just decided instead of doing 1, 2, 3, 4, just giving them a title. And I don't know, maybe at some point I'll change it, but for now. But I want to start in the fourth seal now, because I have a lot this morning. Because the Lord early, not early this morning, but around maybe 8 or so in my study, I was just preparing, and the Lord just gave me some quotes that really put on my heart that I wanted to share with you. And of course, I won't have time to read them all this morning, but I'm going to leave them with you. And then if you want to read them, I hope you will. They're in an older message back in the 50s. And so Brother Branham made some statements, and he made it. One of his statements was, I just want to share with you this morning some secrets, some secrets. That always catches your attention when the prophet talks like that. And so some of those little things he's letting, just like one time he was sharing some of those secrets, and he was saying now, he said, you know, he said, we preach like salvation's for everybody, but we know it's not. He said, we preach healing like it's for everybody, but we know it's not. See, he's letting it out. Now, you'll hear him say 100 times, this is for everybody. This is for everybody, anybody, whosoever will. It's for you. But then one day he'll come over and he'll take us to the side.
Yes,
and he'll say, now we know that it's not for them.
Right.
We know it's for you. It's for the elected.
Yeah.
That's who it's for. And so those things they stir your heart. And so we just thank God for his great blessings. Now, let's get into this, because we've been talking about Wednesday. We talked about Jezebel. We talked about her back there and the kings. So Jezebel is a type of the modern church today. Huh? Jezebel is a type of the modern church today. Whoa, isn't that a bad title to get? Isn't that a bad representative to have? Because she was the worst. She was the worst of the worst. She was a witch. She was an idol worshiper. She was against God in every way. And she wanted to kill the prophets of God. She killed the priest of God. She was totally against God in every way. And she's a type of the modern church today. They're against God and they don't even know it. And the prophet said, as Paul said in his day, that they worship Satan, thinking that they're worshiping God. And how could they possibly do that? Because they're reading their Bible. Because they're reading the message. And they feel like, this is God. This is God. And at the same time, they're not living the very thing that they're reading out of the Bible. That hasn't become a part of them. They haven't become in relationship with it. That hasn't become one to them. It's not real to them. So they in turn now have made the Word of God of vain repetition. And so they're worshiping Him in their own intellectual ideas or after some church's idea, after something else. They are worshiping God not according to the revelation of the hour. Now this is the only way. And this becomes more real to the true believer every day. Every time you read your Bible, every time you read the message, it becomes more real. There's no life outside of the message of the hour. And that's painful for people that are struggling with that idea. It's painful for them because they're just like, no, I got a whole Bible here of God, and this is all God, and all I got to do is believe this. No, it isn't. This tells you must believe every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's nowhere here that says God got done. There's plenty of places here that said God continues on and continues on and continues on. That's what he told them in Acts after he died. After he died and rose again, then he comes back and he tells them, he said, all that Jesus did and continues to do. He's continuing today. This here is what proves it. This tells us what he was going to do. And it's really something. You might go searching sometime and you read some of these commentaries and preachers, these great smart theologians, and they'll pick up a scripture like Malachi 4 or in Malachi this or Revelations this, and they get in Matthew 11, Matthew 17, talking about the Elijah, talking about these different things. They never can place it. Somehow they can't place it. None of them are talking about God promised to send us a messenger. No, they're looking for Jesus. But God promised to send an Elijah before he come. And they don't talk about that. They're not interested in that. They're not interested in the vindication of the word. And that's what the prophet is. He's the vindication. He comes to get your attention, to grab your heart and tell you, look what God promised. And here it is. Here it is. This is it. This is the manifestation. This gift that's flowing out, that come out of that man, that was the vindication of God's word for this day, for the seventh church age. Right. And then it just grew. It grew until it was God incarnate in that same veil of flesh. Amen. What was it doing? Vindicating that word. And then what did he promise to do? He promised to do it in you. He promised to vindicate his presence. Right. How did he do it? By resurrection power. That's it. That resurrection's living in you. That seed of God has been birthed and resurrected the living God living in you. Right. A manifestation of God himself. Amen. That's what he promised. That's the Bible. Praise God. Amen. See, now, Jezebel is a type of the modern church today because Catholics and Protestants are joined together now. See, is that right? Have they done it? Yes. They've done it. See, is that prophecy fulfilled? It's prophecy fulfilled. We just needed somebody to point out to us the prophecy and the fulfillment. Yep. And once he did, what did God do? He shined the light. That was the promise. There was going to be a dismal day. The day didn't look like day or night. But in the evening time, he promised there would be light. Is that the Bible? Is that the scripture? Yes, it is. Yep. Did it happen? He shined the light. Now we see these things. See? So there's no getting around it. They're both denominations. So it's just mother and sister, mother, daughter. We know what it is. See, that's all. They fuss and argue with one another, but it's the same thing. Both harlots. And I'm not saying that myself. I'm not just giving my opinion. That's what the prophet's saying. I'm not giving you my opinion. See, I'm quoting from thus saith the Lord. See, all right. Now we notice killed by the command of God was Jezebel. Was killed because God had Jehu to go down there and have her thrown out the window and kill Jezebel, and the dogs would eat her flesh. Is that right? The literal Jezebel. See, because we know we're going talking about the spiritual now, because the churches today is a type of the literal Jezebel, the natural Jezebel. All these denominations, all of these things, there it is right there. There's your spiritual Jezebel today. See? So Ahab, her king head, dogs licked his blood as the first Elijah predicted. So the scripture said, the prophet's pointing us back to, that Jezebel was killed by the commandment of God. It wasn't just a mishap. God sent a prophet down and told what was going to happen. Told how she was going to die. And told that the dogs were going to eat her. And they were going to lick Ahab's blood. Yeah. And matter of fact, by the time that Jehu could go in and eat his meal, he come back out and the dogs had ate everything of Jezebel except for her hands and her feet and her skull. What is that? Huh? What did Brother Branham say about the mark of the beast? Huh? It's what you have give yourself to. It's what your hands do, where your feet take you, where your mind take. Where's your mind at? All of those things.
Yes, sir.
There's some significance there. I'm not trying to make types that the prophet didn't make. I'm just telling you.
Yes, sir.
It's an interesting fact. Amen. That those three parts is all that was left. And that exactly goes along with the Antichrist.
Amen.
That's what it is. Wherever you plant your heart, wherever you serve, whatever your service is given to, that's what you are.
That's right. Yes, sir.
This, I remember as a young Christian, and when I worked in that mobile home factory over there, those guys, they were just rough. They were just rough. Just in the world, drugs and everything, just rough. And trying to witness. There was about three of us. There was about three of us in there. Brother Keenan was there. And Brother Pete was there. Jeff Holler was there. So out of 200 or 300 people, there was three or four Christians there. And so, some of them just hated us. Some of them we could speak to. But you had to move around some time working in different houses. And that's what we were doing, building houses inside of a factory. And you might get somebody alone or one or two people and start trying to talk to them. And just as sure as you start trying to give them something, some fact of God or some fact of the message, people would come, they come with this thing, this statement. I hear this statement so many times. Well, what I think, God don't care what I think. You won't find anything in here about what Don thinks. Huh? Or no other preacher. What Paul thought, what Moses thought, what Brother Branham thought. Is nothing about that. Not about what anybody thinks. It's what God thinks. It's what God spoke in His Word. And Jezebel died by the commandment of God. Because God said, this is what I'm going to do to show you what I'm going to do to the spiritual churches in the last day. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what the scripture says. That's what the prophet said.
Amen.
Just what you read about that literal Jezebel, that's what's going to happen in this day with the spiritual Jezebel. Oh, yes. You can be sure.
Amen.
354. See where we're going, don't you? Why, the first Elijah was a rejected man by the churches. And Jezebel and Ahab was the head of them churches. Church and state. It's all together. See? And Elijah revealed Ahab's sin to him and commanded the whole church to turn back to the true word of God. That's what every prophet was sent for.
Amen.
That's what every king was given for. They didn't do it. It took an 8-year-old boy named Josiah to get on fire for God and turn the people back. It took a prophet of and king of judgment like Jehu to come down and slay them, slay those false priests, slay those false prophets,
right,
to destroy those temples, to destroy those statues.
Amen.
And then he himself walked in the way of Jeroboam. He had the anointing. He served God in the capacity that God had him to serve God. What a great work that he did. Look, read it. He gathered them all together. And he made sure, he said, you get every one of them. This feast is going to be so big. We want every worshiper of Baal to be here. And he sent his men in there and he said, now you go in there and you make sure that there's none of the servants of God in there. This is only for this special group. Just the servants of Baal. The worshipers of Baal. And they got them all in there and they slayed them, everyone. And then they tore down the statues. Then they tore down the temple. They took the ashes out there and put it on the certain places, certain graves. A prophet comes for one purpose, to get us back to the Word. A prophet came today to get us right here. This Bible right here, he came to get us back. He came to open this up, to shine the light on it, and say, look, it's prophesied that there will be a prophet in the last days. It's prophesied that all the mysteries of the Bible is going to be revealed in the last days. It's right there in the Bible. We didn't know it. The theologians didn't teach us that. The theologians didn't tell us what to be looking for. No, God brought a prophet. And that prophet came and took this Bible and opened it up.
Amen.
And he took every symbol in the book of Revelations and revealed the symbol.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We read on Wednesday. That's the problem. Brother Ram said the people don't want God to judge them. Huh?
That's right.
No. They don't want to be led of the Spirit of God. People want to do what they want to do. That's the difference in the elect, the children of God, and the non-elect. The children of God are going to surrender themselves. There's something in them. They can't help it. They can't help it. They're going to surrender. But sometimes it's so easy. Especially let me say for myself. So, you know, that's the problem that when you're preaching is, When God puts you preaching to where we live, then the first thing Satan's going to do is, he's talking to me, he's talking to me, he's talking to me. Well, it's supposed to be God talking to everybody.
Right, right.
I had a preacher one time, and he preached on me for a long time. And I didn't want to get my feelings mixed in there. I didn't want to get pride or get something against that. And I prayed and I prayed and went on a long time. And one day God settled it for me in my heart. And I said, Lord, it don't matter if he thinks I'm guilty of those things. It doesn't matter if he gets everybody in the church thinking I'm guilty of those things. I said, Lord, the only thing that matters is, am I?
Right.
And I said, I'm asking you, Lord, if anything that he's saying I'm guilty of, let me get it right. And then, after that, everything that he's saying, let me just say amen if it's the truth.
Yes.
If it's the truth, it don't matter who it's to.
Right.
It's just truth. That's the difference. Let it be the truth. Let's say amen to it.
Yes, sir.
If we're guilty, let's come up to it.
Amen. Yes,
I got to come up to it.
Yes.
And it's easy for men to, because of pride. It is. We went walking on the trail yesterday, and my daughter and grandson. And so we're going along, and he rode his little bike, not a trike, no pedals, but just push. He did that for about a half a mile. But we had a wagon. I was pulling a wagon waiting for him to get tired. When he got tired, we put him in the wagon, and they were carrying the bike. Mom was carrying the bike, and he didn't want that. We tried to put it in there. They were trying to put it around where he wouldn't bother him and make him comfortable and make him everything. And so it wouldn't fit in there just right. It was just flopping around, you know. And so finally he grabbed that bike and he pulled it to himself. And he just wraps it around himself. The handlebars are here and the other stuff is here. And he's holding that thing. And I said, and they're just trying to make everything comfortable, everything. I said, y'all don't understand. He's a man. He don't want everything easy. A man will go the hard way. A man doesn't want everything soft. He doesn't want everything like that.
Amen.
And that's a good thing sometimes. But sometimes also, it's when we let our pride get in the way, then it's a problem for us. Because we don't want anybody to tell us nothing. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. That spirit can get not just on men, that can get on women too. And when we get there, then the problem is it can blur the lines for you and God. You got to get the man out of the way. You got to get all men. You got to get everybody out of the way. You got to get mom and daddy out of the way. You got to get brother, sister out of the way. You got to get everybody out of the way to keep this channel open. That's right. That's the one. That's the one that matters. So, what we're saying is the word is, that's what the word is supposed to do, right? Is to reveal. It's supposed to reveal. If I'm not living all of the word of God, then the word is supposed to reveal.
Right.
It's supposed to reveal to me. It's got to get my idea of, well, you know, I'm living a pretty good life. I'm doing good things. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. No, it's got to move that stuff out of the way. And it's got to just be just the word.
Right.
It's got to be just the word.
Right.
It's so easy for Satan. It's hard on preachers. It's hard on me. I'm a man, and I'm a minister. And so when other ministers come here and they're stepping on your toes, then that's when the word's going to prove itself. That's when the word proves itself. That's right. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter if it's a big guy or a little guy. Huh? It's the word we're looking at. And when we look to that, then we can get that man out of the way and say, Lord, this is you speaking.
Yes, sir.
Let me hear it. Let me receive it. Let me act upon it.
Right.
You know, that's the nature of God. It's the nature of God to be able to recognize our shortcomings, to accept that, and to follow the leading of the Spirit, to make, in humility, to obey. That's what it is. So, I got to move. Paragraph 356. See, now if you want to see their bodies, turn over to Revelation 19 after the word slays them. See, and I don't want to get off on that this morning, but I wanted to have a little part of this in there. So now just you watch. See what happens when Christ coming in Revelation 19, beginning with the 17th verse. And I seen an angel standing in the sun, and his vesture was dipped in blood. He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And 13th verse, and he's called the Word of God. Now here he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See? And so out of his mouth, I'm dropping down, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. What's he going to smite the nations with? The sword. The word. That's what he's smiting them with. What's he going to smite Jezebel with? The sword. The word. What's he going to smite the churches with? The sword. The word.
Amen.
See? Out of his mouth. See? Like from God's mouth to Moses' mouth. See? Like from God's mouth to Moses' mouth. That's what the scripture says. God said he would speak to Moses mouth to mouth. And the prophet said, God speak to Moses lip to ear. Like two people talking. That was the difference in Moses. God was talking to him lip to ear, face to face. Yes. See, and others got confused about it. They got confused about their anointing and Moses' anointing. They got confused. That, okay, I got the anointing. God spoke to me. I know. I've had the goosebumps. I've felt that anointing. I've felt that wonderful feeling. I've went out and spoke, thus saith the Lord. I've preached the gospel. I did this. I did that. That's all wonderful. But this is something different. This is different. That's why I was talking about on Wednesday night. We all read the word. We all have thus saith the Lord. We have thus saith the Lord, but I got it right here. I got it right here in this message. We have it. As long as I'm speaking that, I can say, God said this, God said that. But when you come along and you everything you say is thus saith the Lord. God told me, God told me, God told me. What are you saying? That's my question. What are you saying? God revealed that to you how? In the word? Amen. In the message? Amen. That's right. But every day you pray and God's speaking to you and you hear this voice? I don't think so. Now, I got some scripture here I want to read. He's talking about speaking mouth to mouth, right? And he's talking about the last days, and he's referring it back to the old days. So, I'm going to start in Exodus, the fourth chapter, in verse 10. And I got several places I want to read and to establish my thought here. And there's a couple things in here, and I'm just looking for little details, nothing new, nothing you don't know, but just putting some details to the picture. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now, Moses is telling the Lord, I'm not elegant. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not, you know, they say that Moses stuttered, he was very shy, very, maybe almost backwards, just a very humble, meek person. And so this really struck me this morning, and I hadn't noticed it before, but was Moses is telling the Lord, telling him why he can't do this job, because I'm not eloquent, huh? And so then he says this, and this is striking to me. Neither heretofore, not now am I. See, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. No, now after you've told me, now what you want me to do, you haven't changed me. You haven't made me eloquent. You haven't made me a speaker. You haven't took away my stutter. You haven't done none of those things, Lord. Now, that's what I'm getting out of that. Maybe I'm not getting it just right, but that's what I'm getting out of it. He's saying, I'm still just like I was. Now, you're telling me this, and I'm still just that same non-elegant person. Slow of speech. Slow to speak. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Wow. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Huh? Now, I put that to you. Who made your mouth? You say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. None of us do. But we got a promise. We got a promise that in the same hour, He's going to give you what you have need of. He's going to give you the words that you need. And He's going to help you. And you know what? He didn't say anything about making you eloquent. No. He was always okay with Moses being slow. He was always okay with Moses stuttering. You ever see any problem with it? You ever see him say anything? God is saying, who made you slow to speak?
That's right.
Who made you the way you are? Right. Who created your mouth?
Amen.
Huh? God's okay with you just like you are.
That's right.
God wants to express himself in you just like you are.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Have not I the Lord created your mouth? Let's read that again, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or, listen to this, who maketh the dumb? Huh?
Right.
How did a person get dumb? Did some man do it? No, God created them that way.
Yes,
huh? Or the deaf. Not all the deaf just got deaf because they listened to the music too loud or did something else or did something else. Some of them were born deaf.
Right.
How did it happen? See? Or the seeing or the blind. Have not I the Lord? God's taking credit for making you just the way that you are.
Yes, sir. That's right.
In other words, Moses, I don't want to hear it. I don't care that you're not elegant. I chose you.
Yep.
Now that is for us today. That's for every believer in every age. God chose you and God wants you just like you are. I don't care what Satan thinks about it. Is Satan going to use it against you? That's okay too. Yes. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. And I will teach thee what thou shalt say. Praise be to God. And what, did he do it in this day? Yes, he raised up a prophet and he sent a prophet and brought him right to us. And it's what he did in Moses. He raised up Moses and he sent him to the children of Israel to teach them the word of God, to bring them into the presence of God, to reveal to them God's plan and what God had in his mind for the people of that day. See? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. Now, is that the scripture? Yeah, it's the scripture, isn't it? Do you remember anybody else speaking that scripture? Huh? You remember Korah and Dathan? Did they preach the same message? They preach the same message. Aaron and Miriam is the same thing. The same mindset. The same thing. God said, the whole congregation is holy. That's the scripture. That's the Bible. What was the problem with Korah and Dathan? The same thing that Aaron and Miriam had. They thought that Moses was doing this. That Moses took this upon himself. No. That wasn't it. That's where people fail in every age. They fail to recognize that God has vindicated the voice. God has vindicated the man. And God vindicates the elect of the age. God is vindicating you. As you live the life, as you accept the message, as you believe the word of God, it's vindication. That God is alive today. That God is living in his people.
Right.
That's the truth. See, all the congregation shall be holy. Verse 3, and ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And turn you not unto idols, nor make to yourself molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Praise be to God. Let that stay. Let that always be in our hearts. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Huh? Now they didn't like something the man did. And so now they're going to use that as leverage as to who God's speaking. Using to speak. Is that what's happening?
Right.
Yeah. God's only speaking to you? He speaks to us too.
Amen.
That's all true. Those are all true statements. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us? Also by us. And the Lord heard it. And I always, this terminology always mess with me a little bit. And I'll just be honest, I'm slow. And I think I didn't come up reading the Bible and knowing the Bible. And I believe what Brother Branham said, that the Eastern people understand it better because it's the way their language speaks. In other words, a lot of times in the English language, you read something in the Bible and it sounds like it's asking a question. And it's not asking a question. It's making a statement. Like Paul said, he said, do all speak with tongues? It's not a question. It's a statement. All do not speak with tongues. So the language difference, and this I ran into this when I first started going to India, because the Telugu language is it's totally different. And so you got to think that the mind has to process this. And this is why I always admire people that speak multiple languages, especially from the Eastern countries, because in Telugu they speak. You got to speak the whole sentence. And then they start with the last word. The last word is the first word of their sentence in that language. Now, I don't think it's exactly like that in... Same. So there you have it. So you're saying it backwards. So it's easy for people in their minds to be confused sometime about exactly what the meaning is. That's why the beautiful thing today is there's many translations of the scripture, and some are more literal than others. I don't care about the... I always use the King James, but there are some that are more direct. And I don't like the Living Bible, some of that stuff. Just nonsense. There's a lot of junk out there. But there's also some that can help you understand. So anyways, this statement. I always thought, and the way I always processed it was, and the Lord heard it. Well, now God hears everything. God knows everything. Is that right? He knows all things. So why is God making a statement? Why is this Bible saying, and God heard it? And it just hit me this morning that Brother Branham said the problem is the people and the theologians think that God is like the wind. And he said, like the wind, he's just breezing around. He said, no. He said, God is a person. A person. So you'll find this many times in the scripture that God heard it or God saw it or God this. Now we know he knows all things. Right. But the difference is that Brother Branham said, and I this is what turned me this morning to go this way. Brother Branham said, God was there. He was there. And that's what he's talking about. And the Lord heard it. The Lord's standing there. The Lord is there. He's right there with Moses. He's right there with Aaron. Right there with Miriam. He's right there with them. It's not just because he knew it by foreknowledge or just but him and you know, maybe you always got that clearly, and so I'm just confessing my ignorance. But I've always looked at it, I feel like, in the wrong way. Because the terminology by modern English is, God knows all things. So why would you say it like that? And there's many, many examples if you go through the scripture. So I'm going to read you because I don't know that if we're going to get to it or not. But I'm going to read you out of the message, Faith Cometh by Hearing. I didn't put it in there, so I'm just going to read you this one little place just because it goes right here. But I have it at the end if we get to it. Paragraph 37, Faith Cometh by Hearing, Chicago, Illinois, 1954. There is an anointing, a personal. Now, there is such a thing, as maybe you know, like one time there was Moses was made fun of by his sister and his brother one time because he married a colored girl, an Ethiopian girl. And didn't they make fun? And God happened to be present. Happened to be present. The person of God was present. See, that's revelation today. The prophet taught us God's not like the wind. That he's a person. That he's a being. So that means he's somewhere. He's somewhere. Just like you are somewhere. Right? Now you can know something going on somewhere else by different methods. And God knows all things because he predestinated all things. He knew it before the foundation. He knows everything being said everywhere, anywhere in the whole world. God knows. But he's also God is somewhere. Personally, somewhere. And God happened to be present and heard it. Was that right? He just was present and heard it. That's right. Okay, let's get back to the scripture. Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Now, tell me what's happening. How many people is God speaking to? One person or three people? He's speaking to three people. Yeah. And that's what they were talking about in the first place. They were saying, does God only speak to Moses? Does God only hear Moses? Is Moses the only one? Now God is speaking to all three of them. And he's telling all three of them, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. He didn't say, Moses, tell them. He spoke to them. Said, come. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. God's speaking to them. And this is not a new thing, because they had the anointing of God. They had gifts of God. Is that right? She was a prophetess. Huh? She knew what it was to prophesy. She knew what it was to be anointed of God. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Well, now you don't even got to be a prophet for that, do you? God can give you that. But you can be anointed a prophet and God will speak to you through dreams and visions. But you can just be a believer. And God can give you a spiritual dream. He can give you a vision. God can do what he wants to do to whoever he wants to. And gifts and callings are without repentance. You don't even have to know God. God can use you because he made you. Do whatever he wants to do. So God is telling them, if there's a prophet among you, so that's Miriam and Aaron, because he was Moses' prophet, right? He was Moses' prophet. Moses, the Bible said, was God to the people. And so he was God to Aaron, and Aaron told him what to say. That's quite something, isn't it? Can God do what he wants when he wants?
Yes, sir.
Then could God do that same thing today?
Yes, sir.
If God wants to do it, he can do it today, can't he?
Yes, sir.
He can raise up a man that would be God to the people. Yes, he could. So he said, if there's a prophet, I'll reveal myself in dreams and visions. Said, but in verse 7, my servant Moses is not so. Huh? Who is faithful in all mine house. With him, I will speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently. See? Not in dark speeches. And in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? This is not your regular prophet. This is not your regular man. Do you know that the scripture says that God would raise up a prophet like unto Moses? Huh? And who was that? Jesus Christ. He was God to the people. He was God in a veil of flesh.
Right.
And he's the same God in the last days.
Amen.
Oh my. Now you have spoken against this man who is serving me totally, and I'm totally pleased with him. And I don't just speak by dreams and visions to him. I speak lip to ear.
Yes, sir.
What a relationship. Verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Who departed? He departed. He left them. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Now that's the best thing he could have done right there, is repent and recognize that we have made a mistake. Recognize that this is the voice of God. Recognize that this is God's chosen vessel. That this was God to the people.
Amen.
Huh? And in recognizing what God was doing with Moses, and then they could humble themselves to that. Do you think it changed their life? You can be sure it did. Do you think they came back like that again? No, you can be sure they didn't. But I want to just point out something, and it just came to my mind just now. Remember now, here's two groups of people, two people, Korah and Dathan, and Aaron and Miriam.
Right.
Now, when Korah and Dathan came against Moses and said, all the people's holy, you think you're the only holy one. What happened to them? Did the earth open up and take them straight into where?
Right.
Hell. The pits of hell. They went straight to hell. What happened to Aaron and Miriam? I don't know. I don't have their... I see that God spared them, at least for the moment.
Right.
At least for the moment.
Right.
I haven't... I'm not going to say... I haven't read it. I haven't read it. So I'm going to leave them. I'm going to leave them right there. I haven't read it. Have you read it, brother? Yeah. I knew she died right after. I'm talking about predestination. So were they seed? Both. Okay. That's what I thought, but I hadn't read it directly. I hadn't read it. And so, and then I just come into my mind now. I didn't want to say it without there. When you're sometimes when you're up here, there's a lot of things come to your mind, and sometimes you start saying something, and then you go home and you think on it, and you say, no, that wasn't right, and I don't want to do that. So Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, so we've done foolishly. Verse 12, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. See? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Now, Moses is crying on her behalf for God to heal her. And this, Brother Branham's going to put this in his own ministry, in his own life, in a few minutes when we get into this other message. And one reason why I was saying what I just said is because Jesus saying they were everyone dead. They were everyone dead. And so there was 2 million that come out, and he said 2 million two went in of the original. Of the original. And so it's. But God knows who's his. And he's not going to lose one. Listen again. Moses cried unto the Lord saying. Heal her now O Lord. I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses. If her father. Had but spit in her face. Should she not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the Lord journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Okay, so he comes back now to this this quote that we're reading, and we're fixing to go into this other message, but let me read this. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Out of his mouth, like from God's mouth to Moses' mouth. See? Now, Brother Bam's taking the scripture, and we'll hit it again later. See? And he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and tread the winepress, press of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Amen. So, let's go down now. And I want to come to this message that the Lord put me in this morning. This is faith cometh by hearing. And so We're moving pretty good, and so I'm gonna read a little bit of this, and I'm gonna drop down. If you can drop down just a little bit, brother, so he's talking about the 10th chapter. Brother Branham is talking about. He's taking the book of Romans, and he's explaining the book of Romans from the 4th chapter over to the 10th chapter, and he's talking about faith, and he's talking about predestination. He's talking about Jacob and Esau. He's talking about faith, hope, and charity, and how it takes all. It takes all of that for it to work properly. And so, okay. And then in the 10th chapter here, could you got that? Yeah, you got it. Okay. So we find him now dividing what faith is. Now, faith is burly. How many knows what burly means? Huh? Do we know what burly means? It means rough and tough, right? Like masculine. Faith is masculine. How I like to think of faith. Hope, faith, and charity. Of those three things, see, those three things, and hope, what a beautiful thing that hope is. Listen, little timid hope, lovely and sweet as she is, yet she is the greatest enemy of faith, that faith has. Huh? Hope. Hope is the enemy of faith, see? Now, that's right, the greatest enemy faith's got is hope. Because a person becomes so hopeful till they leave away from faith. Now listen, he's got a great little lesson here. Now, hope will agree with the Bible. Hope will say it's true. Hope will say, I believe every bit of it, see? I believe that's the Word of God. I believe God keeps His promises. Have you ever said that when you're hoping for something? I know God can do all things. Nothing's impossible with God. You're hoping for it. You're hoping for it. See? I believe every bit of it. I believe that's the Word of God. I believe God will keep His promise. Hope believes all that, but hope then says, now I believe that God will heal. But look at my condition. See? I'm hoping for it, but look at my situation. I need this, Lord. I need this. I got this problem. I got that problem. And you're hoping. You're just hoping. See? Now faith don't look at that. Faith comes around, and I don't care nothing about the conditions, huh? Faith. Faith don't care about the conditions. Is that right? No. You know, we're not just talking about your physical. We're talking about the spiritual. Because you know, when God is revealing this word, and He's revealing this word, and you find out you're going to separate yourself from the things of the world to the things of God, then you're going to lose your social standing. Right? So it's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faith. Well, you're hoping. Well, I hope I don't lose any friends. I hope I can keep all my friends. I hope everybody's still going to like me. I hope, I hope, I hope. But faith isn't looking at your friends. Faith isn't looking at society. Faith isn't looking at none of those things. Faith is just saying amen to the Word of God. That's the revelation. This is God's Word. That's what faith is saying.
That's right.
Then whatever the Spirit and the Word lead you to, you're okay. You're not worried. See? But hope is worried about that. You don't want to lose nothing. God said so, and it's mine, see? Don't care about the conditions. You see, faith's burly. As I once said, faith has hair on its chest. That's right. When it stands up and pulls its big muscles out, see, everything else vanishes, see? It just flies away. When faith really takes a hold, nothing else stands. Praise be to God.
Amen.
But you've got to have hope and charity, see? But if you got a real burly faith and no love in it, listen to this now. Have you ever seen anybody like that? They're just powerful. Everything is, I believe it. I accept it. You're healed. I'm healed. I'm this. I'm that. Huh? And they're just rough. No love in it. That seems wonderful in the moment sometimes. But it also contaminates it. And it also says something else. That the scripture identifies three different things. And people only take one that suits them. Some will only take burly faith. Some only take love. Some only take hope. But there's something more here. What did Miriam and Aaron and Korah and Dathan do? They all had a scripture. They took it right out of the law of Moses. They took it right out of the Bible. All the congregation is holy. Is that right? They were all preaching the word. They all had a revelation. They all had the Bible. That's right. But there was some more. There was some more word. There was some more revelation. There was some more, another part that made that all go together. That made it all fit together. You can't take part of it. If you got real burly faith and no love with it, you've ruined your influence before the people. If you haven't got love mixed with it, see, you've seen people real burly, see, what we would say, excuse the expression, a bulldog faith to grab a hold, but is so rough with it, see. Then you see when you do that, it hasn't got the kindness here to move with it, see. So what we need is hope, faith, and charity. Isn't that right? Hope, faith, and charity together. And God help our church to have it like that, see? The people to have that combination. What's he saying? Let's take all the word. Let's let all of the word express itself in us. That's right. But if you just only rely on hope, you hinder faith, see? Hope looks for something way off. But faith claims it right now, see? Faith says, God said so, and it's mine. That settles it, see? I don't care if I'm still crippled, if I'm still blind, if I'm still sick, that don't have nothing to do with it. I believe it anyhow. See, it's mine right now. God said so, and that settles it. Amen. See, that's faith. Is that right? That's faith.
Right.
Praise be to God. Hope is saying, I'm expecting it someday, someday, someday. Yeah, I know God's able. I know the Bible says it. All things are possible. Someday, someday, someday. Faith takes a hold. That's what's happening in the revelation. People are taking this revelation, these mysteries, and they're saying it's somewhere out there. It's somewhere out there when it's right now. And that's what he's going to express as we go more in the fourth seal, as we go in anointing. That's what he's expressing. It's not in the future. It's right now. It's right now.
Yes, sir.
Brother Gumbo was talking about the rapture. It's right now. It's not out there. We're not hoping for it. We're not. It's not going to be someday. It's right now.
Yes, sir.
He said, you just believe you got it right now. It's your personal property. Praise be to God. All right, I'm dropping down. E32, paragraph 32. Now, I'll admit there's great powerful gifts in the church. You got to admit that, see? Just like in Jesus, in Moses' day, there was great gifts. There was Aaron. There was Miriam. There was Korah. There was Dathan. They all believed that Bible. They all had anointing. They had it. See, to influence and help the people. What are them gifts for? To influence and help the people. That's right. But many people preaching divine healing, like, they go through the country and they say, well, now, brother so-and-so is in the city. See? And now I'll get well. Huh? Oh, that sounds good, don't it? You see where their faith is? You see where their confidence is? Yeah. That's in the gifts and the healing. What about in the spiritual? What about in the revelation? Brother, we gotta recognize the presence of God today. We gotta be led of God today.
Amen.
Right now. See? Now, I'll get well. No, not a bit more. See? It isn't that brother so-and-so is in the city or coming to the city. It's Jesus Christ in the city.
Amen.
See? That's it. It's Jesus Christ. It don't matter if it's healing. It don't matter if it's the mysteries. It don't matter what it is. We have to look past all flesh.
That's right.
All of it.
Yes, sir.
And recognize God. And we recognize Him by the Word.
Amen.
And when we recognize the Word of God, it will not matter who's standing here.
Yes,
it won't matter who you run into anywhere, anytime.
Right.
You'll only recognize the Word of God in that person.
Amen.
It won't matter what they look like. It won't matter how they're dressed. It don't matter what their education, how intelligent they are. None of those things will matter.
Right.
Only one thing will matter. It's the Word or it's not the Word. It's Jesus Christ in the city is what. See, that's it. That's right. Now, I've tried my best to give that. See, speaking to the people that their faith. And this is true now that I will admit this just while we're small tonight. I want to tell you little secrets and things as I go along. See, there's things. This is truth. And you all have followed my meetings place after place, many of you. And you've never seen one time, sincerely, on a platform, listen to this now, and I think ministers, all ministers can relate to this in certain ways in your ministry. See, sincerely on a platform that anybody ever was brought there, but what something happened. Huh? Listen what he's saying now. He didn't say everybody got healed. He said something happened. God let something happen. Why? Because God was vindicating His presence. Because God was vindicating the voice. God was vindicating His chosen vessel. God was vindicating. See? But what something happened to them right there. That's exactly right. And I never, listen to this. This statement is profound. I never in my life ever sincerely asked God for anything but what I got it. Is that quite a statement?
Huh?
That's a pretty profound statement. That's right. Maybe not, listen to this, maybe not in the way that I asked for it, huh? But I got it. So what is that? That maybe I ask a little bit according to my desire, my will, but God gave it to me. But not always the way. He's going to give us an example. I gave you an example one time before. I prayed for somebody who had left the church, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God brought them back. And I realized, and I always felt like that was just for me, because they were not happy there. I watched them. I opened up every service. I watched them. They were just miserable. And I thought, God, did you just do that to answer my prayer? And so it wasn't long. And I made the statement. I said, you know, it's when a person you're not happy, you're not satisfied, then you're in the wrong place. And it just wasn't long. They went away and they found a place where they're happy. They're still out there, but they're somewhere else. And so, but sometimes God answers your prayer, but then He shows you that your way wasn't exactly His will.
Right.
I don't know. I'm sure many of you had that. I'm sure you've had that, brother. You brothers, I'm sure you've had that. And I've mentioned many times, and I'm sure you brothers, Brother Goma, especially because he's traveled on the mission field. But I see Brother Michael here. The anointing, he don't preach that often, but when he does, you look at the anointing that comes on him. This God just anoints him in a powerful way. And so I know Brother Goomba can relate many times, especially in my early years in India, that it's like the Spirit just took control of everybody. And if you were sitting there listening to the amens, Brother Goomba, you would think everybody's agreeing. and everybody is accepting the message. And you know it's not possible. I mean, it's possible, but you know it's not possible exactly. And so, but it's, they're under such an, God put such an anointing there. You, Brother Goomba come back just this last trip, talking about how powerful the anointing was in those services. And I've seen it over and over. And sometimes it's so powerful, you just feel like it's totally accepted. But then the next day or the next day, Satan comes right in there. With that chaos, with that doubt. I've preached mysteries before, and people come to me right to the pulpit. And it was time I'm done preaching and say, Brother, we need that. We need that truth. And within a week or two, they're writing me, picking it apart. What's wrong with it? Huh? But under that anointing, see, under that anointing, they were just eating it up. And it was so, you know, just, it's God. That's God. You can't do that. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not spitting on you. I can't do it. You can't do it. See, it's God. That's the thing. You even you sisters, you're out there sometime. You God opens the door for you to witness to somebody, say something. And you just know that it's the presence of God that is doing it. You know it's not you. You know it's not your intelligence or anything you could do. But you know that God has come on the scene. Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Anyway, glad you come, sisters. Praise be to God.
Amen.
So the prophet is telling us that he never, never asked anything but what God gave it, but not like he maybe asked for it, not like maybe what he thought. See? I've seen people raised right up from death's door. Listen to this. This is one of the points. See, the doctor standing there with death struggle in their throats and see them people live for a week and then die. See? Remember one time that happened? They died and then Brother Branham said, God, you owe me an explanation? Huh? I don't know. God was answering his prayer. God answered his prayer, but still God's will had to be done. It was time for them to go. And the prophet recognized it. He recognized it. See? God letting you know. See?
Right.
This is why you find these people that, and trust me, I'm not against this, so don't take this wrong. Please try to understand this statement. You watch these people, they go out through the hospitals, they have all their prayer lines, they have all of these things, and they think everybody's going to get healed. God's healed you. No, he hasn't. God is going to heal those that have faith to be healed.
Amen.
That's who's going to be healed.
That's right.
And God puts that faith in there. And when God puts it in there, then you just walk away with it. It's yours free.
Yes,
it's nothing. It's just yours. See? But it's not for everybody.
Right.
See? God letting me know, I'll hear your prayer. See? But you got to know the will of God towards things. Brother Random said one time, he said, when you go into that hospital, you go into that room, and he said, if you've prayed and you know the will of God and you know the situation, that's what the prophet did. He tried before he goes. Now, sometimes you're just praying. Sometimes you pray for anybody, everybody. If you feel like they're in sin, whatever their problem is, you're still going to pray for them. You're still going to ask God's blessings. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when you get the will of God and you know that this person has got to get their life right and then God's going to do it.
Right.
And if they're not willing, God's not going to do it.
Amen.
You got to know the will of God towards those things. And that's about the ministry, see? The people, see? That's right. And when you're standing before the people and God will show a vision. Just what's going to happen, see? Then you know what's going to happen. So see, the prophet had that. He had that where God could show the vision that he knew their life. He could see their life. He could see the sin. He could tell them, said, you need to make this right. He said, if you make this right, God will heal you. God will do this. God will do that. See? And then you know what's going to happen. Whether it's death or life. It could be either way.
That's
And it was. Many times that prophet knew they're going to die. He didn't always tell them. Sometimes he just prayed for them. God told him, said, when he used the gift in his hand, he would take their hand and he would see the disease. And he would tell them, he said, now you got such and such and such. And he said, you know, if you can believe, God will heal you. And he prayed for them. They say they believe. And you go through that. He could tell them many things. And then he'd pray, check them. He'd still be there. God said, just pronounce a blessing on them. Just say, the Lord bless you. See? But he knows. See, we don't always know, but he knew. Sometimes we know. Sometimes we don't know. See? Sometimes we know by the word that there's things that people need to do to get their life right.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's something hidden. See? Then you know what's going to happen, whether it's death or life or what they got to make right or something like that. Sometimes I see it turns dark around the people. That's death. See? And I just don't say nothing. Just go ahead. See? But when you see the procession, see, I know it's over. That's right. When you see the victory, when you see that it's happened, you see that healing. See, that's the beauty of that gift that God gave us in this day, is to recognize the spiritual realm, to recognize the spirits that are right here. And to be able to see death and life in a person.
Yes, sir.
See? I know it's over, you see. So then you've heard me times. And you just watch any time that isn't me. But you watch any time whatever he says on thus saith the Holy Spirit or thus saith the Lord. You watch and see if that ain't just exactly that way. It'll be that way. He's telling, it's not me. It's not me. That's right. It's God. You look at when Moses spoke. Thus saith the Lord. Follow it through the scripture. It was exactly like it. That wasn't Moses.
Amen.
That was God speaking through Moses. It come to pass exactly like he said. 35. Now, faith first has to be based on the Word of God. The Word of God produces faith. And now if God said so, then I believe it. See, I believe it with all of my heart. And see, now it's not just because Brother Branham, Brother somebody else laid hands on me. I believe it was that. See, that's obeying others. But my hands to be laid on you is no more than Brother Joseph's hands or any other minister, see, any other lay member of the church. See? No. You can lay hands on one another. You can pray one for another. You believe with the faith that God has given you. See, everyone that believes in divine healing and is a Christian has a right to pray for the sick. That's exactly right. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Who's included in that? Every single one. Cameron, you're included in that. Gabriel, you're included in that. Aspen, you're included in that. Every single person. Every single person. That's right.
Amen.
And do you know, it doesn't even say you have to be a seed. Huh? No. No. Anyone. All you have to do is believe. Can you imagine God giving something like that? That people can be healed just by believing? Now, you don't have to be a believer. Think about that. You don't have to be a believer. You can still access the Word of God, the promises of God.
Amen.
And look through your Bible. It's all the way through.
Yes, sir.
Look what they took a hold of.
Amen.
Now, this is true that some great person of faith, a great warrior of faith, has more faith to stand there, that burly faith, sure, and take the thing away. But unless you stand right there with that same faith, it'll come right back again. Huh? So, if you got somebody with that real burly faith, And they come pray for you. And they are so powerful, so anointed. And it's just gone. You're just healed. But you don't truly believe it in your heart. Then that anointing goes right away. And you go home. And you're right back where you were. Yeah. Watch this. Watch this. I've had men with this Bible have been brought to the platform that couldn't even see their hand before them. And be prayed for, anointed, in the presence of the anointing, and read chapters out of this Bible. And come back the next night just as blind as they was in the first place. Are you getting that? Now, we're talking about physical healing. But I want you to be sure to get this in the spiritual, receiving the word. Because this applies the same way. People will come in, set under the anointing, hear a good message, a good preacher, hear something, and say, that just sounds right. And as soon as they go, Satan starts working on their mind. Working on their mind, working on their mind. And trying to take it out, trying to tear it to pieces. See? It's got to be, God's got to lock it in. See? They come back the next night just as blind as they was in the first place. Because the first thing, they're standing there, they're under that anointing. Oh my, the heavens is all on fire, see? And that's what happens. That's why we visited a few times out and about, and you watch, they're on fire. Right. And you actually come home sometime feeling like, man, we got to liven up some. We need some of that fire, Brother Goomba. We need some of that fire. You watch them, and they have no substance, no depth in the word, nothing. Right. But you watch them singing and shouting and dancing and praying for the sick and giving glory to God and passing out. Now, I don't know how much of it's real and how much of it's put on. It doesn't matter. They're on fire. That's all fine. That's all fine. And anytime you have that anointing, you love it. But the main thing I want is this revelation.
Yes, sir.
This is the main thing I want.
That's right.
That's right. Brother Branham was married to Meta 11 years before she ever came and stood on the platform under the anointing. She'd been in the meetings. She knew before she married him he was a prophet of God. She had already seen the vindication, but she had never came up during the time that the angel of the Lord was standing there on the platform with the prophet while he was under that anointing. And so, brother, and she was very humble, very shy, bashful sister. And so finally, he wanted her to come. He wanted her to come. And so this is it. He said, by the way, she isn't here. My wife was on the platform in Phoenix, Arizona, the other night. We've lived together for 11 years now. That's married. The first time she ever stood when the anointing was upon me and she couldn't open her mouth. She just stood there. And people, I'd say something to her and she's just there. See, her eyes looked real funny and the babies, she had two little girls there. One was 3 and one was 8. See, and they just stood there. They couldn't say a word and walked off the platform crying. And said, I hadn't noticed it. I called for them. And she's very bashful. You that know her. So she wouldn't come to the platform, as we just said. And Billy Paul back there, my boy, he said, why, after I done began praying and stopped the preaching and the anointing had struck me, Billy said, Mother promised she would come to the platform. And she had the children dressed in their best. So they were sitting down there, you know, to come to the platform. And we got them up there. And when she did, she just stood there, see? And she said, going home, said, honey, don't ever ask me to do that. She said, you just don't realize. You don't realize. But she was just frozen. by the anointing of God, the presence of God. Brother Branham said, nobody can stand in that place and not recognize, not feel the presence of God. He said, you can't. He had people come up in the line, and he said he was beginning to see their life because of the gift. He's beginning to see into their life. And he would start telling you the things that they're thinking because their thoughts were just bubbling out. And he says, now you know, you feel his presence. You know that something's happened. You know that as you came closer, it became stronger and stronger. And he said, that's God. That's the angel of the Lord. That's the presence. See, the 37, there is an anointing, personal. See, there's such a thing as maybe, you know, like one time, wasn't Moses made fun of by his sister and his brother one time? Because he married a colored girl, Ethiopian girl. And didn't they make fun? And God happened to be present and heard it. Was that right? He just was present and heard it. That's right. And when he did, he said, bring them in here. Said, don't you fear God, knowing, seeing what I've done for that man, and showed him the favors? Huh? And showed him the favors? You remember, even when Moses done wrong and smote the rock, did God answer his prayer? He did. And he didn't get to go over because of it, but God was not going to slack on his promise. God said, I will be with you. And what you say, that's what it's going to be. Amen. And even when Moses was wrong, God honored it and did what Moses said.
That's right.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Brother, the prophet's telling us the same thing. That he prayed for things at times, and God answered that prayer. But then the prophet found out it wasn't totally the will of God. And so God had to end it, but he gave it to him in honor and respect to his servant. God does for you over and over. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
God does for you over and over and over. And when he does, Brother Ram talked about that group of people that they're in such a fix, they're in such a strait, they're down and out, all kinds of problems, either physical, spiritual, mental, financial, all different kinds of ways. And God will come on the scene and do something for them, do something for that situation. And then they go right back to neglecting God. Huh?
That's right.
Anyone here guilty besides me? Yeah.
That's right.
It's so easy to let the flesh take you. That's right. And people wonder why, think sometimes why their prayers aren't answered. He's trying to help you.
Right.
He's trying to help you. Knowing, see what I'd done for that man and showed him the favors. He said, if there be one who's spiritual or a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in visions and so forth. But my servant Moses is not so. He said, I speak lip to ear with him. He said, don't you fear God, seeing that I've chosen this man? And Miriam broke out with leprosy. That's right. See, she had to stay out of the camp 7 days. And Moses fell on his face and prayed for her. That's right. There is anointing. That's true. But men isn't healers. God's the healer. That's right. So when it happens, it's God, brother, sister. It's God coming on the scene for you. They only can explain it, see, or pray or join their prayers with you. But healing comes by faith in hearing the word of God. That's right. Praise be to God. Oh, my. I could stop right here, but could I just go a few more minutes? What do you call it when it's the stuff you don't want to hear? That's what's next.
Amen.
And that's the, you don't like this to be at the end. You want to hide this in the middle and then, you know, have something sweet at the end so everybody leaves feeling good, you know, and they're okay. So, but this just take a little bit, okay? Just a few paragraphs. Just and remember, it's not me, it's not you, it's the Word, it's God. This is God. Just like you read this Bible, and we all declare this is every word of it's God's Word. But then sometimes, as Brother Branham said, that ministers are sitting there reading it and they see something, and it, and if I preach that, I'm going to have a problem, and they'll turn the page, and they'll try to push it out of their mind, but it's still there. They know it's there.
Yep.
They can't get rid of it. They can't, and they'll try to find another quote or another scripture that softens it, makes it a little easier to take home. Now, Abraham, when he was called out of Chaldea, the city of Ur, who was Abraham? Just a man walking out there one day. Oh, I just love that. Just a man, just a nobody, huh? Just like, remember, Elijah had to was commissioned to go anoint three people, and he anoints Elisha, and Elisha anoints one, and then that nobody, that's a nobody. That's what I liked about that story. A nobody, Brother Goma. A nobody, huh? God can take nobodies and send them to do what came right through the prophet. The same thing God told that prophet to do, you're doing it. You're living it. It's living in you. That's what he's doing.
That's right.
Amen. See, God's voice spoke. That just makes me feel good when I think God's voice spoke to him and said, Abraham, separate yourself from your people. Isn't it strange that God makes us separate ourselves? Huh? Today, the world wants mixers. Huh? There it is. That's the day. That's your nominal world. That's even the message world. That's what the message world is coming to. Just a bunch of mixing. You can't stand for anything. When you start standing for something, and there's a right and there's a wrong, then that's what upsets the apple cart. That's what causes people to go away, when you start standing for something. But if you don't stand for this revelation,
yes, sir,
you're going to fall.
Right.
You will fall. God wants separators. Yeah. The world says, oh, well, we don't want that old pastor. He's an old fogey. He don't believe in letting us do this or that or the other. We want a young fellow who's a mixer, see? But God wants separators. Separate yourself. See, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. Separation. And God called Abraham and separated him. Amen. Now, the only thing that he had to believe was God's word. And every time I read this Paul and Barnabas thing, that you know why they separated? Because God was going to get twice as much done. Twice as much. That's what's going to happen. And so, I remember all those years in India, I was by myself. There was, you know, well, the first couple of years, there was some of the brothers was there, Brother Holmes, Brother Bean, Brother Cross went with us one time. And so, but I, from then on, the next 20 years, I was all by myself. When I went to Kenya, I got there by myself. Some brothers from Uganda invited me there. And so we went into the meetings, and Brother Boniface, he picked me up and took me there. Brother Goomba was there. And so that's when Brother Goomba and I met. And so we just became real bosom buddies. And we were talking about it the other day. And I'm telling you, we traveled together just like Benjamin and I did in India. But Brother Goomba and I traveled in Kenya and Uganda and around. And he taught me so much. About the country and about the people, and just we traveled so well together, and so it was always a blessing. And then Brother Keenan started coming after some years, and so then there was three of us, and so that went for a little while, and we'd go somewhere and we got three preachers here, and you know there might be only three meetings or six meetings or something, where it was just. It was not, and finally, I felt impressed, I said, I'm going to have to go. I said, you know, we got too many preachers for too small of a job. And so I started traveling, and I could only do that because Brother Goomba had basically trained me on the buses and the mats and the trains and everything else that they had, every way to travel. And so we had traveled. We just did that. And so, but by that time, though, Brother Goomba was, they were traveling. We traveled a lot by car in the later. And so they got the car, and Brother Keenan got to drive my driver and my brother and all of that. And so I started. But what happened was, just like this, we were able to cover more ground. We were able to be more places, preach to more people. And God does that. That's one kind of separation. There's another kind of separation when the world is holding you back. Right. When the world is holding you back. And then God wants you to separate from those things. Separate from those things and walk alone with God. Right. That's right. See, God called Abraham and separated him. The only thing he had to do was believe God's word. Faith cometh by hearing. All reason and sense of knowledge had to pass away. He had to depend exactly on what thus saith the Lord. Abraham was 75 years old. Sarah was 65. He was going to give a child by Sarah. Not by anybody else. Not by, what's her name? No, by Sarah. See? Now, let me see now. If there could be such a way, let me go down and ask the doctor if Sarah could renew her strength. And so forth. See, why? He couldn't reason it out. But he based his faith on thus saith the Lord. That's right. Faith cometh then by what? See, hearing the what? The word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing the word. And it must be the word of the day. It must be this hour. God sent a prophet today. God revealed the scripture today. And God, give us something that we could know a way, a channel, that we could know the truth. And that's why there should be nobody, there should be nobody in this message that hasn't read the Church Ages and the Seal Book and then go into the messages. Those messages is the door into a new world, into a new message, into a new Bible. Those bring you into revelation. And when people aren't willing to even explore that, when people are not willing to come into that, it shows you there's no magnet. There's nothing pulling them. Because it's every preacher here talks about it. Every preacher here tells you there's revelation laying in there. You will know things that you never imagined. You will know things you never imagined could be possible.
That's right.
That's right. And until you get there, and then you get into those supernatural books, it will open up another world. It will open up into a spiritual world. You'll see things you've never seen.
Right.
And it's the greatest thing that can happen in a person's life is to be introduced to these things. That's right. Okay, I'm going to just stop. There's a bunch more there. So that's just about halfway on the quotes. And so if you feel like it, read the rest of this message here of Faith Cometh by Hearing, 1954. He says a lot of good things there and some really, really great things. And so we're going to ask you to stand up with us now. And we just thank God for the day, for the hour. And we do thank him for the rain. We need rain. And we know the ground has been dry for some time. And we thank him for spiritual rain also. And may he give that to us. We want you to be in prayer now concerning those meetings over there with Brother Keenan. They'll be having him at their church. And so we believe that God opened that door. And I think, I don't know who was responsible last year. We will say God, but I don't know who was the original to. I know who went and rented the place. I know that. So y'all did that legwork, but some for the meetings, for the whole thing. I don't know. Somehow or another, the Lord just put all that together. Amen. And then moved on all those hearts to come together. And it was a good time. We really had a good time. And so we want that again. And, you know, we feel like that we're pretty close together in the revelation. And so we want to have that fellowship. And so just be in prayer that God will have his way in all Amen. Things. And we'll look forward to that. We're going to ask Brother Goomba to come. And I'm going to give him this thing because what happens here, although this is speaking, but the problem is we don't hear you so good.
You don't hear me?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. God bless you. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we don't want to lose any words.
I'm not going to talk much at all. I'm not talking much at all. But one of the things is that, brother, that was very, very good, especially on faith. And sometimes those questions are there. Why didn't I get it? I prayed, like my wife once told me that, you know when the prophet prayed for, he went to pray for somebody. He went to pray for somebody. Mm-hmm. And the prophet wanted that person to have enough faith. So he started talking to him or to her about, it was her, about how God can do things. And if I forgot my keys
yes.
at home, I would tell God that I want those keys and those keys can come to my pocket.
Yes.
Remember that? And then and he said that...
The necklace
it can move, and he said no, that's not God. He said no, it's God, and he started moving back and forth, back and forth. He wanted to create faith in her, and one time my wife told me, I believe that can happen, and she believed it, and she waited. And whatever it was, I think the keys didn't come to your hands or something. What was it? It's a dream or something. Now, those questions now, you can see why. You can see why it is not always the way you want it. It's not always the way you want it. That's a good answer. That's a very strong statement. Yes. That's a very good preaching. You can understand why. Sometimes you want something that is not the will of God. Did you know sometimes we pray for things? We're like children. You want a knife. And it will hurt yourself. The baby will hurt herself, right? Now, God knows that. God knows what is the best thing for us. That's what he gives us. Sometimes we think he's not answered, but he's actually answered. And I'll say this. It is true that he says, ask and it will be... He cannot fail. That what must happen. Ask and it, and I will give. He's never failed to give. It is you sometimes who don't know that he's given. Yes. It's given. It is you who sometimes thought that it was supposed to come this way. But and that those quotes are very good. We will do something. We'll do something for you to have the quotes. I didn't have the quotes. So I don't know what's happening. It's not going to everybody. So I like those quotes too, for everybody to have. And not only that, I would request that we are so busy, and we know we are busy. We know we are busy. But please, go, even the young people, go read those quotes. Those quotes are very good. Just read them. You have some time to read a book or something. Read those quotes. Just pass them. Just pass through them. Yeah. Just pass through there. Just pass through there. And another thing I would like to say. It's about, I know you're studying, senior. I know you're studying. And just one thing, one more thing, and then I close. And this is very important. We see those things being done by other people. And it's good. It's good. Like they're on fire. They're good. They're clapping. Their singing is very good. Those things are good. And when they come and tell you the prophet is the prophet of the age, that's very good. Whoever is saying it, whether he's a believer of this message or not, we got to agree that that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. The praying is good. Praying for the sick is good. All these things are good. But don't you remember, don't you forget the main thing is to be in the message of the hour. That's right. That's the main thing. And those things, are they doing all wrong? No, they are doing good. Brother, you came very wrong. You came very good, brother, on that. It's very good. They're doing good. They're good. They don't have a problem on those things. The only problem is, are they here? You can agree with them on this. And that's why the prophet said, the Bible said, they will come to me. We did this. We sang. We did that. We did this. This we did. We did. The only thing you didn't have is, you are not married to the message of the hour. You are not married to me. You are not one with the message of the hour. The main thing is, what is the message of the hour? Don't throw those other things away. Like singing, jumping up, being happy. Those things are good. Taking care of one another. These things are good. These things are important. But don't you forget the main thing. When those people talk, when you hear them, the churches, and they are our brothers. We love them very much. And the only thing we would say, like Paul said, no, Paul said to Agrippa, he said, do you make me a believer of that message of yours that you, with those few words? And he said, everything that I have except this change.
Yes.
Everything that I have in this message, I would like you to have except this change. And that's what we desire for them. We would like them to have this message.
Amen.
And everything they have is good. It's ours. We have it. We got it's ours. But they don't have, we would wish that they had this message. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for feeding us, Lord. And that's what you do every time we come around, Lord. That's what you do, Father. You come down and speak to our hearts. Sometimes, Lord God, as you say this morning, we hear a good service, a good sermon preached, Lord. And it feels so good, Lord. But when you walk out, Lord, the devil is on us, Lord, and we start doubting. We start going backwards, Father. We don't want that, Lord. We want you to build on what you're doing, Father, what you've spoken to us, what you put in our hearts, Father. We want to go further, deeper and deeper, Lord God, and loving you, and help us to surrender more, Lord God, and give ourselves to you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.